characteristics. What should a mother be? Well, I guess if we asked that general question of a lot of people, we'd get a lot of different answers, wouldn't we? This morning, I just want to take a few moments to share with you some special ladies from the Bible who were mothers and their particular characteristic, and let you see somebody who fulfilled the role. Devoted mothers and their children. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis 21. Genesis chapter 21, beginning at verse 14. We have the story of a mother you don't hear much from. She's not one of the big names. She was under hard circumstances. She happened to be the servant of another great lady called Sarah. And Sarah could not have children. So she gave her handmaid to her husband, and he had a child by her. Her name was Hagar. Here's the story. Sarah became jealous because Hagar now had given her husband Abraham a son. So she kicked her out of the house. Literally. So Abraham got up early the next morning, prepared food and a container of water, strapped them on Hagar's shoulders. Then he sent her away with their son. And she wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water was gone, she put the boy in the shade of a bush. And then she went and sat down by herself 100 yards away. "I don't want to watch the boy die," she said as she burst into tears. But God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven, "Hagar, what's wrong? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Go to him and comfort him, for I will make a great nation from his descendants." Then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well full of water. She quickly filled her water container and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy as he grew up in the wilderness. He became a skillful archer. What is it, the characteristic that we see in Hagar? We see the characteristic of love for her child. Regardless of the circumstances, there is no doubt when you read this story how much Hagar loved her boy. And that is one of the characteristics we need to see for our lives today. How much do we love our children? Last week, I think it was, a lady went on trial in the state of Florida because she couldn't stand her two teenagers anymore. And she shot them both. Now, regardless of the circumstances that Hagar was under, she loved this child. Wept bitter tears. And I don't doubt but what they had a rough life. Did you notice it says he grew up in the wilderness? She was out there with her son Ishmael in the wilderness. But somehow, she was able, through the help of God, to see it through. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. verse 1. In this story, we will see a mother who protects her child. The story here is that there was a whole multitude of people, probably somewhere around 1 million people, who found themselves living in the land of Egypt, and they became slaves. The dads were beaten and the mothers were beaten on a regular basis to produce work for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They had multiplied to the point that now the king of Egypt was afraid that there was going to be more Hebrews than there were Egyptians. So the king made a decree, kill all the male boys that are born in the homes of the Hebrews. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. How many of you could have hidden your child for 3 months? Huh? I wouldn't doubt some of your neighbors knew they were around. When they needed some food in their belly or a change of diapers. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance watching to see what would happen to him. And soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. And when the princess opened it, she saw the baby, and the little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. You think the Lord must have pinched him that day? Make him cry. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She asked. Yes, do, the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. Take this baby and nurse him for me, the princess told the baby's mother. I will pay you for your help. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Protection, one of the characteristics. Don't ever get between a mama and her baby. Hello? You're in trouble. So this lady was so loving to her son, who was he? Moses, that she went to all of this trouble. Now, none of the other mothers in the tribe of Hebrews, none other mother we have record of, thought up such a plan or was able to bring about the protection of their children. There was a great cry among the Hebrew mothers as the soldiers came day by day and found their little boys and killed them. But this mother said, I will do everything within my power to protect my son. So the first mother shows us love for her child. The second mother shows us protection. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. We see here a mother who has the characteristic of prayer for her child. Going to God in earnestness for the need of her child. Hannah, beginning with verse 9, once after a sacrificial meal in Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." As she was praying, to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound. He thought she had been drinking. So he said, "Must you come here drunk? Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. And then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Verse 19, the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. And then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. For she said, "I asked the Lord for him." The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, "Wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently." How many of you mothers would give up your child for the Lord to use? Ooh, that's a tough one. "Whatever you think is best," Elkanah agreed. "Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise." So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle at Shiloh, and they brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I am the woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he was granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And they worshiped the Lord there. Chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel, though he was only a boy, served the Lord. He wore a linen garment like that of a priest. And each year His mother made a small coat for him and brought it to him when she came with her husband for the sacrifice. Before they returned home, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you other children to take the place of this one she gave to the Lord." We see this intercessory prayer in a mother's heart. She was a mother before she became pregnant. She was calling on God to bless her with a son. And in her mind, in her heart, she had already felt the urge of God. And this was her cry. And God granted her request. And here is this mother, not only a praying woman, but a woman who was willing to surrender her child. Maybe we need more that will bring their children to the Lord and say, "God, they belong to you." Samuel went on to be a great prophet in the house of Israel. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. We will see here the true love of a mother for her child. This is a story of two not so savory women in the Bible. Probably most of you ladies wouldn't associate with these two women. They were prostitutes. And you know the story before we get started. They both had a little boy. During the night, one rolled over on hers and smothered him. And so she switched. Listen to this story. Sometime later, two prostitutes came to the king, King Solomon, to have an argument settled. "Please, my lord," one of them began, "this woman and I have lived in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. 3 days later, this woman also had a baby. We were alone, and there were only two of us in the house. But her baby died during the night when she rolled over on him. Then she got up in the night and took my son from beside me while I was asleep. She laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep beside her. And in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't my son at all." And then the other woman interrupted, "It certainly was your son, and the living child is mine." "No, no," the first woman said, "the living child is mine and the dead one is yours." And so they argued back and forth before the king. Then the king said, "Let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours, and each say that the dead one belongs to the other. All right, bring me a sword." So a sword was brought to the king. Then he said, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one woman and half to the other." And then the woman who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much cried out, "Oh no, my lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him." But the other woman said, can you imagine this? "All right, he will be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us." And then the king said, "Do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is his mother." You see, that love, even though it meant her giving him up and allowing this other disturbed woman to raise her son. She was willing to give him up because of her love for him rather than to see him die. Another characteristic of a true mother. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. We see a mother of faith here. A mother whose faith would not waver. Undaunting faith. There was a farmer and his wife lived out in the country. And somehow the prophet used to come by there. And he would stop in. And so the wife said to the farmer husband, "Let's build him a room on our house. When I get old, about 95 to 100, who here will build a room on your house for me?" Brother Gary, God bless you. Edie, thank you for having such a wonderful husband. Honey, I've got a place to go. I don't know about you. I wouldn't do that to you, Gary. Undaunting faith. The lady, the farmer's wife, said to her husband, "I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. And then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by." One day, Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up into the upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her." When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" "No," she replied. "My family takes good care of me." Later, Elisha said to Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man." "Call her back again," Elisha said. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, "Next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." "No, my Lord," she cried. "Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. One day, when her child was older, he went out to help his father, who was working with the harvesters. And suddenly, he cried out, "My head hurts! My head hurts!" And his father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." So the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, he died. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and then shut the door and left him there. She sent a message to her husband, "Send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back." "Why go today?" he asked. "It is neither a new moon harvest nor a Sabbath." But she said, "It will be all right." So she saddled the donkey and said to the servants, "Hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to." And as she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. And he said to Gehazi, "Look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, 'Is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child?'" "Yes," the woman told Gehazi, "everything is fine. And her little boy's laying dead on the bed back home. What's that say about what faith? What faith she had in God. But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is." Then she said, "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? I didn't. And didn't I say, 'Don't deceive me and let my hopes get up'?" Then Elisha said to Gehazi, "Get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face." But the boy's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me." So Elisha returned with her. Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him, "The child is still dead." When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi, called the child's mother, and when she came in, Elisha said, "Here, take your son." She fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. Can you picture that? This woman had such faith that even though her child had died, that he would live again if the man of God would come and pray. Do we have that kind of undaunting faith that God will answer our prayers for our kids, for our grandchildren, and some of you for your great grandchildren? One more scripture. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. The faith of a Gentile woman. Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." And she replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." What humility. "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. Do you see these characteristics of these women that God said, I want these stories written in my book? God anointed the prophets, the authors of the Bible, and He said to them, I want these stories of these mothers put in my book. And I want everyone to be able to read them. For what purpose? Why are they there? Not only to see the handiwork of God, but also to see the characteristics of a mother's heart and a mother's life for her children. Take these stories. Read them again at home. Study these mothers. And share with the women around you the kinds of mothers that God thought they were so special that He had their stories put in His book. Happy Mother's Day. And ladies, God bless you all. Whether you're a mother or whether you're a mother at heart, may the Lord richly bless you this day. Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful to You for all that You do for us. One of the great things You have done for us is that each one of us, everybody here, without exception, has had a mother or has a mother. No way to come into this world without one. Lord, there are times when we don't understand our mothers. There are times when mothers are less than what they ought to be. But today we pray for all. We pray for everyone. Even that if they fall into the realm of the two women who brought their babies to Solomon, still, Lord, You use them as an example to show a mother's undying love. Bless every mother. Touch them with Your grace. Those that are not serving You, help them, Lord, to find the truth. And help them, O Lord, to come to know You as their Savior. Touch the children of mothers today throughout the world. And help them all to recognize the greatness of the one that God had put in their life as a blessing of life to them. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. All of you gentlemen, would you please stand? I want you to shake as many ladies' hands as you possibly can and bless them.